Thursday, Parshas Truma Tavshin Pei Dalet. In today's Parsha, we have the Kalim of the Mishkan, which would be the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. So I'd like to begin with the menorah, and through the menorah, we're going to broaden out and learn a klal that applies to the to other Kalim as well. At the end of Parshas Yisrael, the Torah says there, V'mizbach avanim tasli, when you build a stone altar for me, which is not if, but it's when, as Rashi says, lo sivne en gazis, do not build it out of hewn stone, because how was hewn stone acquired? Through using implements that are made out of iron. Lest you lift your sword on it, and you will have profaned it. And Rashi says that the Mizbeach is created laharich yomim sha'odim, to lengthen the days of man, and Barzel and iron was created lakatsi yomim sha'odim, to shorten the days of man. And therefore, says Rashi, that the Torah doesn't want us to use an iron implement, to use a sword, to use any tool made out of iron. That would be used to produce the stones that are used for the Mizbeach. That's the Parshat Pshat. There's a Ramban here. It's at the end of Yisro. It's somewhat of a lengthy Ramban. And the Ramban talks about the negative trait of iron as it applies to not only the menorah, and not only to the Mizbeach, but actually to any kli in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan. And he says that it's not appropriate to have any type of metal. The only thing we have is zav, chesef, and nechoshes, only gold, silver, and copper. Those are the only types of metals that are allowed, but not iron. Iron is identified with a sword. And the Ramban is rather wealthy, extensive there, and he says that we don't use it for any of the kelim. We never substitute, whereas maybe there'd be possibilities of if there was not enough material to produce various kelim in the Mishkan, you could substitute with other materials. For example, they could substitute the gold of the menorah with wood, to have a wood menorah. But fine, wood is fine, but not other iron. This is what the Ramban says. And the Mefarshim have a problem with the Ramban, because it says in the Gemara that when the Chashmonaim, in the story of Hanukkah, so they assumed the kingship of Klal Yisrael, and everything was profane, the Beis HaMikdash, and they needed to build a new menorah, a makeshift menorah. And they built it b'shpudin shel barzel. They built it with stakes or spits of iron. Shpudim are like stakes, and it's made out of iron. And that's how they made the menorah. So the problem is, how are they able to make the menorah at that time out of b'shpudin shel barzel? What Farshim deal with this? So we'll use this question as an entree to broaden out what we want to say here. The Rabbeinu Bechai says that the menorah has, of course, seven branches. It's got the middle one, and then you have three coming out on either side. The menorah symbolizes Torah. We know that, right? That's exactly, lighting the menorah and brings out the chokhmah of Torah. And this is what the Chashmonaim did. It was a war between secularists, and anti-Torah forces, and Torah forces, so to speak. And what they did was they prevailed. And the entire Hanukkah story is kind of embodied in the menorah. The menorah is that vessel which stands for Torah. But the menorah, says Rabbi Nochai, the seven branches relate to the seven branches of Chochmah that are in the world. The Ribbono Shel Olam created the Teva with Chochmah. There's seven different disciplines of Chochmah. I couldn't tell you what they are. But the seven chachmas are all contained, all represented in the menorah. And, of course, the main property is Torah itself. And he says that you have the seven branches of chachma, they relate to the 7 days of the week. That's a complete cycle. You have the 6 days where Rabbeinu Shlomo created the world. He rested on the seventh day. The main day, of course, is Shabbos, you see. And we say that the three last days of the week, Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, relate to this coming Shabbos. And the 3 days of next week still belong to the previous Shabbos. That's why if a person didn't make Havdalah, Matzoy Shabbos, he has a Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday up until Tuesday night. In other words, you have the Shabbos is the middle, and it is flanked by 3 days on either side. And therefore, the same thing is true with the menorah. You know, the menorah, of course, the three lights on either side of the middle branch, they inclined inward towards the middle. That the main chokhmah, the main aspect of chokhmah, that would be towards the middle, and that would, I guess, represent the Torah, and all the other chokhmahs are subservient to the Torah itself. So I don't know if the disciplines or various aspects of science and math, or whatever the case may be, but these are the seven levels of chokhmah. So you see that the menorah represents Torah and all of the facets of chokhmah related to Torah, subservient to Torah. Now, we know that the Torah is Derecha Darchei Noam. The Torah's ways are pleasant, right? But yet, there was a tremendous war that was waged to protect Torah and for the survival of Torah, and that was the war of the Hashmonaim. In other words, since the continuity of Torah was at stake, so you don't fight theological wars. You just don't debate on the stage. You don't get, forget his name, Murray, the great debater that's doing great debates on behalf of Israel. What's his name? Douglas Murray. Yeah, Douglas Murray. You don't win this kind of a struggle with Douglas Murray. You only win it if you pick up arms and you fight. As the Chofetz Chaim writes in one of his farim, that if Torah is under threat, the Hemshech of Torah is under threat, that we'd be mechuyv to pick up arms and fight to protect Torah. And therefore, that's what the Hashmonaim did, and they prevailed. So the pshat is over here that the menorah itself, even though the kelim are not to be made with iron, because iron represents war, as Rashi says, but there is one time in the history of Klal Yisrael where there was a war, and that war was to protect everything that the menorah stood for, which is Torah. And that is the Melchom of the Hashmonaim. So the even though the Ramban says we don't make kelim out of iron, but this is one exception to the rule, because the entire Melchom of Hanukkah was made dafka to protect the light of Torah, to protect the continuity of Torah. And therefore, representative of that is the fact that the menorah then was made out of shpudim shel barzel, these irons, because iron is dafka what was needed at that time. Okay. I believe that the Chofetz Chaim writes that in terms of communism, that if they would actually threaten the whole kiyum of Torah, we would have an obligation to actually fight a physical war. Okay. So now, let's go on from this menorah, okay? And now we will visit other aspects of the Mishkan. Now let's understand that we said that menorah symbolizes Torah. Yes, it's true. But there's another vessel in the Mishkan that represents Torah, and that is the Aron HaKodesh, right? So the Aron HaKodesh is not in the Heichal, it's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So just to get our bearings straight, right, you have the more west that you go into the Mishkan, or Beis HaMikdash, is the westernmost precinct, is the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and therein sits the Aron HaKodesh, and that's called Kodesh HaKadoshim, as we all know. It's the Holy of Holies, that's restricted. Entry is restricted, right, except for the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. And then just prior to that precinct, the precinct is called the Heichal, and the Heichal was the home to the Mizbeach Hazav, the golden altar upon which was brought the Ketores, okay? Not the sacrifices, but the Ketores. And then you have the Shulchan, the table upon which you have the Lechem upon him, and you have the menorah, okay? Now there's a question over here. Why is it necessary to have two vessels that represent Torah? You have the menorah in the Heichal, and you have the Aron in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Furthermore, whatever the difference is going to be, it has to be understood in light of the fact that the Aron occupies a very special place by itself, on its own, and that's in Kodesh HaKadoshim, whereas the menorah, which represents Torah, is relegated to the Heichal, which is not as holy as the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So at this point, Let's look at the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah. It's Perek Gimel. And the Rambam says as follows, that you have, beginning of Perek Gimel, B'shlosh Iksarim Nichtu Yisrael, Klal Yisrael had three crowns, Keser Torah, Keser Kahuna, Keser Malchus. Keser Kahuna, of course, Zocha Ba'aron. Aaron HaKohen was Zeicher, Shenemar, V'hoysa Lo L'Zara Achra B'Rizku Las Olam. And this Keser Torah is reserved for the Kohanim. Keser Malchus, Zocha Ba'Dovin. Only David HaMelech could be Zeicher in the ultimate Melucha, as it says, Zara L'Olam Yehiyah V'Chisok K'Shemesh Negdi. Of course, that was intended to be, and that's why the Chashmonaim's Melucha did not last, because it's not intended that one person could have two Ksarim, and the Chashmonaim were Kohanim, and they really weren't supposed to become the kings, and therefore they lost it, they were punished. But in any event, you have the Ramban and Chumash on this, and the brachas of Yaakov to Yehuda, that Yehuda is the ultimate king, and so really wasn't supposed to go to Chashmonaim because they're Kohanim. So one person is not intended to serve and to wear, to don the two crowns, Keser Torah and Keser Malchus at the same time. Keser Torah, says the Rambam, Hare Munach V'Omed, it's right there. U'much HaLakol, it's there for the taking. Shenemar Torah Tzivolonu Moshe Morosho, it is a heritage, Ki L'Saku, Kol Mishri Yirtza, anyone who wants it, anyone here, Yavo V'Yitoy, you can take it. None of you are Kohanim, right? And we don't have Malchus today. Unless somebody here secretly is Mashiach and we don't know about it yet, and maybe you yourself don't know about it yet, but Keser Kahuna, Keser Torah, you could have rather Keser Torah, you could have Shemar Torah. You might say that the other Ksarim are greater than Keser Torah. He invokes a pasuk to say that the greatest Keser is that of Tehalamadata, She Keser Torah, Gadol Mekeser Kahuna, Mekeser Malchus. Okay, so you have these three crowns. Now, then the Rambam goes halachically and explains. And what we want to introduce also right now is the fact that the Torah in Parshas Truma here says that various vessels require a zer, a golden crown. Now, what are the vessels that had a crown around them? You had the Shulchan, right? You have the Mizbeach, Hazav, and you have the Aron HaKodesh. They had like these crowns. You see the pictures, you'll see what we mean by a crown that's on top of them. Now, what conspicuously, of all of these kelim that we've been speaking about this morning, what does not have a zer? The menorah, right? It's not a matter of logistics, because how would you get one up there? If the Torah said that there has to be a zer on the menorah, there'd be a zer on the menorah. I might add, Moshe Rabbeinu was niskasha. Moshe Rabbeinu was perplexed how to make the menorah. So the Rebbeinu Shel Olam made the menorah, right? A fiery menorah. So there would have been a fiery menorah with a fiery zer also, right? So why is it that there's no zer? So hold that question, okay? And we're going to get back to that question. The Rambam here in this Perek Gimel of Hilchos Talmud Torah and Halacha Yud Beis, he says he launches into a whole mila of devoting oneself to Torah. Ein divrei Torah miskaimim b'mishim erapa atzma olam. Torah cannot be fulfilled by a person who is kind of rather lax in his approach to Torah. Va'lo ba'elu shalom d'mitoch iden mitoch echilish tia. Torah cannot be acquired by a person who, you know, luxuriates himself when he learns. He's eating all kinds of good, good dishes and good foods, right? And he's sitting here with the Yapchik and he's learning a shtickle rotten rib kiveger. You know, it's not going to work. You know, elamisha memis atzma lame. A person kills himself over Torah mitzar gufa tamid, and he deprives himself of pleasures and brings tsar on himself. He doesn't indulge in sleep. We all know this Rambam. You have to literally wear yourself down, kill yourself, as it says in the tense of Torah. And he brings a pasuk from Shlomo HaMelech. And this is how the Rambam says one should really approach the Torah if you want to have the kiyum of Torah. Okay, so that's really the way of learning Torah. Now, the Rambam seems a little bit contradictory. Well, before we say what the contradiction is, the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel, it's also a well-known Rambam that's often quoted in yeshivas. It's the very last halacha. It's Perek Yud Gimel, halacha Yud Gimel in Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel. V'lo Shevet Levi Bilvad, not only is Shevet Levi designated to serve Hashem, the Kahanim, and L'kol Ish V'Ish Mikol Boi Ha'olam, every person from all walks of life. And it's interesting that the Rambam says Mikol Boi Ha'olam. He doesn't restrict it to Jews. That's a very choice of words. It's very interesting. Asher Nidva Rucho, Nidva Saleh means the person is volunteers his spirit. V'hevinu Madoli Midata Lahibadu Lamal of the Hashem. And he understands that he wants to separate himself out and designate himself to serve Hashem, and he goes and he takes the yoke of all the other cheshbonos off of his mind, and he concentrates fully on Torah. This person, Harezen, is Scottish. Listen to the word that the Rambam is using here, Kodesh Kedoshim. He elevates himself to a level of Kodesh Kedoshim. Hashem should be his portion, and so on and so forth. And so this is the Rambam that says anybody who totally wants to remove the yoke of Torah, he could then go ahead and rise to the greatest levels of Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the Rambam, though, at the end of towards the end of Hilchos Talmud Torah, so the Rambam talks about the fact that the proper way to learn is a person is going to incorporate pursuing a parnasa and be able to support himself and learn Torah. And he says if a person just says, I'm just going to learn Torah and be what it may, and I'll have other people support me, the Rambam uses a lashon, it's a chil Hashem. It's a chil Hashem for a person to put himself out there on the community, right? And a person should live a life where he's earning his parnasa from his own hands, and then he'll be able to learn Torah. I mean, that Rambam seems very far from the Rambams that I just read you before, that Torah should be acquired by depriving oneself from pleasures of this world and so on and so forth. Kol ha-mesim aliba, this is halacha yud, for those of you who are taking notes. Kol ha-mesim aliba shi-yasek v'torah, if a person puts it on his heart to be oisek v'torah, v'lo yasem melochet, he doesn't do work, v'yisparnes benat stuck, and he takes from tztaka funds, ha-reza chilul sashem, it's a chil Hashem, uvazes ha-torah, and he's disgracing the Torah. V'kovem or adas, he's extinguishing the illumination of our religion. The gorim mola atzmo, and he's causing bad to come upon himself. The natal chayim in olam haba, he's removing himself from olam haba. Levisha usher lehenas b'divrei Torah b'olam hazeh, because you're not allowed to benefit from Torah in this world. He's benefiting from the Torah. He says, I'm sitting and learning, and everybody else, you know, has to support me. So the Rambam is very, this choice of words is very interesting, and he's very strong about this. So we're left right now with a seemingly very strong contradiction between the first two Rambams that I read you and this Rambam. The first Rambam, the beginning of Hilchos Talmud Torah, is telling us about a person who should deprive himself and put himself into Torah totally and so on and so forth. I mean, people that are working for parnasa and are out there in the world, you can't say that they're depriving themselves from everything. I mean, that's an act of a person who's just sitting and learning Torah, doesn't know anything. I mean, like the Reb Chaim Kanievsky, you picture that what that Rambam's talking about, and also the Rambam Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel. And yet this Rambam I just read you is telling me that if you live that kind of life, it seems to be a chil Hashem, and you're causing bad to come to the world and so on and so forth. So tomorrow morning, I knew that this would be a two-part shiur, and so tomorrow morning we're going to attempt to resolve the stira in the Rambam, and then after we resolve the stira in the Rambam, we're going to answer not only the question of why you need the two kalim, namely the Urn and the menorah to represent Torah, but there's a couple of other questions that I didn't ask as well, so we'll leave that for tomorrow. So this is a cliffhanger. We'll see you tomorrow morning, Rez Hashem, at 6:25. Have a good day. Mm-hmm.